I'd like to read in the Gospel by Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, the book of the Acts, chapter 24. And verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. By Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 24, Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, a final reading in the book of the Acts, chapter 16. Acts 16 and verse 29. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now that's all we read. We trust the Lord with a blessing to the reading of his word, and bless what we have heard tonight already. I would like to speak tonight on four great possibilities. Now there are those in our company who are not saved. That is, there never has been a time in your life when you were linked to Christ by faith. For every person that's saved and going to be in heaven, they have a starting point, a time when, a place where, and a manner how that they got God's salvation. Now we read from the Gospel by Mark chapter 8. There's a great possibility, we learn from this verse, that a person might lose her soul. And there is a great possibility that if you are not saved in this meeting, you could lose your soul. And I would just like to add tonight, Is that a reality? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you are not saved, you could lose your soul tonight. We learn from the book of the Acts chapter 24 about Felix. Here's a man within reach of salvation. He knew that he needed to be saved. He trembled as he thought of meeting God in his sins. Yet, he put off salvation until another time and went to hell at a later date. Is that not possible for you tonight in this meeting? You may know that you need to be saved. You may put off salvation till another time, die in your sins, and go down to hell. That's a great possibility. Solemn business, isn't it? We read from Matthew chapter 24. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus the question, what's the sign of thy coming? When shall the end of the world be? People are still occupied with those things. But the Lord Jesus reminded them, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Is it a great possibility tonight? I believe that it is. That the Lord could come. We know He's coming because He said it. But there's a great possibility that the Lord could come tonight. How would that find you? Ready or not ready? Taken or left? One or the other. We read from Acts chapter 16. I love this portion of the Word of God. Here's a man began the night careless. And before sunrise the next morning, saved by grace, his whole household saved. There's a great possibility. If you are not saved in this meeting now, before it ends, you could be saved, and saved tonight. What must I do to be saved? Why did this man get saved? Because that time in his life, nothing else mattered. If you want to get God's salvation, you need to get down to business. Set everything to one side. I want salvation more than everything else. That's what the jailer did. And he asked the all-important question, what must I do to be saved? Now, there's people who will be willing to do everything but what God says. Men would like to go walk across British Columbia on their hands and knees, climb the mountains, go into the valleys. What for? To get salvation. But you couldn't get it that way. You can get salvation on the seat where you sit. God is offering you a gift tonight. That gift is eternal life. Will you take it? Or will you refuse it? It will be one or the other. Or like Felix, not tonight, some other time. But thank God there's a possibility that you could get saved tonight. Now from Mark chapter 8 we learn that the soul is something that's very valuable. For what shall it profit a man, the Lord Jesus said, if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And you are not going to gain the whole world. You might gain a bit of it, but you'll never gain it all. But if you take it all in value with your soul, Your soul's worth more than this whole world. That's the value of the soul. What would it profit you should you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? I would just like you to dwell for a moment on that thought, losing your soul. Could you be at a greater loss with anything else than the loss of your soul? The loss of your soul is a tremendous loss. The greatest loss possible to you would be the loss of your soul. Is that right? Now, when a person loses their wealth, they might regain it. I have known men in this very city. They left a beautiful home. All they owned was the clothes they had on. They were once wealthy. Then they lost everything. That was a sad time to walk out in that condition. But the man that I'm thinking about, he regained not as much as he once had, but he did regain some. When a person loses their health, that's a tremendous loss. And some of us here tonight have met a young man by the name of Robbie Oliver. Tonight he's lying in a hospital. He's paralyzed from the shoulders down. His head is in a brace. There's two screws into his jaws, holding his head in one place. I talked to a brother, a Christian, before I left Nova Scotia, who had been in to see him. And he told me, he says, I went in to see him. He said, I had to leave the ward. I had to go out into the corridor. And he says, I went to see a young man who'd lost his health. That's a tremendous loss. But friend, tonight I want you to think of the loss of a soul. Whose soul? Your soul. The loss of your soul. When a person loses all their belongings in a house fire, there might be compensation. If they had it insured, there's compensation and a payment made. But for the loss of the soul, there's no compensation. The loss of the soul is eternal. That's what makes it sad. That's what we trust God by His Spirit will drive home to you tonight. Your greatest loss possible is the loss of your soul, to be in hell and the lake of fire forever. Some in this meeting tonight will remember meetings in South Maine many years ago. But a man from Scotland by the name of David Craig, he preached the gospel in a series of gospel meetings. I remember yet an incident that he told us at that time. It's very fresh in my memory, and I've sought to preach it many times. He said when he was a boy of about 15, with another young man going to the same school in Bells Hill, Scotland, they were both interested in soccer. They were both stars at the game. Gospel meetings came to Bells Hill. They both sat and heard the same message. Their hearts were both touched. They both had serious thoughts about getting salvation. David Craig, by the grace of God, trusted Christ as his personal Savior. The other young man went through that series of meetings, and he, at the end, he was not saved. Still in his sins, out of Christ. He told Davy Craig, He says, I want to be an international soccer player, and then I'll get saved. The aim in his life was to reach the top in the soccer world. As a young man in his early 20s, he had been chosen for a team in Scotland. He had worked his way up. He had become an international soccer star. He had been chosen to play for Scotland. That was the aim in his life. And yet to think God, by His Spirit, gave him the opportunity of getting saved when he was 15 years of age. He took sick before the game a few weeks, and he thought, why, if I don't get better, I'll not be able to play. But the doctor examined him a short while before the game, international between England and Scotland. And it happened to be in Glasgow, Scotland, where about 60,000 people would gather to watch those two teams play in that international game. Now, before I was saved, I saw England and Ireland play in an international game. And I know what it's like to be there amongst such a crowd of people. However, he was chosen to play for Scotland. The game began, but his father, who was saved, and mother, his father never had been to a soccer game. He had never watched his boy play before. But as he said afterwards, for some unknown reason, he went to that soccer game. Not merely to see the game, but something drew him in relation to his own son. Half-time came, there was no score. He was standing beside the wall where there's a fence, and the players are on the field. About 5 minutes to the close of that game, his son got the ball. He went up the wing, passed a couple of opponents, right in. A goal for Scotland. Hornquakes, scarves, whistles, all rent the air. A goal for Scotland. And only 5 minutes to go. When that young man kicked the ball, he slumped down on his one knee onto the soccer pitch. His father standing beside the wall in the fence, he scaled the fence. He ran to that boy. The boy looked round, he saw him coming. His last words in life, he says, Dad, I've won the game, but I've lost my soul. Dropped onto the pitch, a corpse, his soul in eternity. Taking him at his own words, he lost his soul for an international soccer game. To be famous. To dwell in an eternal hell. To rue the day he ever sold his soul for a soccer game. Are you selling your soul? Belshazzar sold his soul for pleasure. Judas Iscariot sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. The love of money. Felix sold his soul by neglect. He had the opportunity of being saved, but he never got saved. We would have been told how he got saved. He said, go thy way for this time. Very seldom a lingerer ever gets saved. Remember Lot's wife? She was almost saved, but she lingered. The place of safety just ahead. She looked back.
God's judgment fell.
Sometimes God brings souls right to salvation, right to a choice for heaven or hell. Many make the wise choice that they'll never regret. Many are in hell tonight that made the wrong choice. What's your choice? Heaven or hell is for eternity. The greatest loss possible. It's possible that you could lose your soul. Friend, it's possible you could lose your soul tonight. Is that right? I have been in BC for about 2 weeks. I traveled to Langley, up that 200 street. On different occasions since I came, just yesterday, there was a motorbike lying in the middle of the road. There's the police, the ambulance. There's a yellow sheet. They're attending someone under that sheet. Just this afternoon, coming down that same road, near the same spot, there was a couple of vehicles crushed into each other. Is it possible you could lose your soul tonight? It's possible I could be in heaven tonight. And that's a glorious thought. That gives me peace. Have you got peace? Are you satisfied with the way that you're going? Friend, if you're not saved, your way is the way to hell. Think of your soul. Its value? Its destiny? Heaven forever? And eternal glory. Hell forever, and eternal gloom. Which will it be? We read of Felix. He put off salvation, and he never could see. There's a great possibility that tonight, you could put off your soul's salvation, and never be saved. May that sink home. Pause a moment. Think it over. How many times have you turned God down? How many times have you had the offer of salvation? And yet God has given you another one. This may be the last one. How do you know? Your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. There's a great possibility the Lord could come tonight. I'm a firm believer of it. Men have set dates. Foolishness. No man knoweth when he's coming. When is he coming? In an hour. When you think not. If I ask you tonight, do you think the Lord will come tonight? Why tonight? Do you think the Lord will come tonight? Oh, you say, I hope he won't. But wait a minute, your hopes are mine. It's not going to alter it one little bit. If I asked all on this side, do you think the Lord will come tonight? Girl, do you think the Lord will come tonight? What's your answer? You don't think so? Horatius Bonner sat one night in a kitchen in Scotland. There was a lot of giddiness going on around him. He's calmed them all down. And he asked each one, he said, do you think the Lord will come tonight? And he went right round every person in that little kitchen. They all gave the same answer. No, I don't think so. Then he said, the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. One night, Harry Ironside preached the gospel. And in his prayer at the close of the meeting, he said, oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. We would welcome thee tonight. He heard footsteps go out of the building on a wooden floor. When he got to the door to shake hands with the people, there's a young lady pacing up and down. And she came across to him and she said, "I hope the Lord doesn't answer your prayer." "Holy," he said, "you hope he doesn't? Well, what did I pray that you hope he doesn't answer?" She said, "You prayed that you would welcome the Lord tonight to come." Now she said, "If the Lord came tonight, that would wreck all my plans." He said, "Just a minute, young lady. The Lord's not going to withhold his coming for your plans. He's not going to withhold his coming for your plans, nor my plans either." I preached with John McCracken in the East of a favorite statement. He said, "You know, I found out that God could fill heaven without me." Doesn't make you feel very big, because God can fill heaven without you. And God is going to fill heaven. He's given you the opportunity of getting in. Salvation. There's a great possibility a sinner could get saved in this meeting tonight. Would you like to know how to be saved? Is that the all-important thought in your mind tonight? God's great salvation. There was a night in my life when it was all important to me. Over 42 years ago, I wanted salvation. I was within reach of it, and I got it. And I've been happy ever since. The jailer got saved, and it says he rejoiced. His happiness began when he got God's salvation. So did mine. Thank God. It's just like the father welcoming the prodigal. It says they began to be merry. We never read of it stopping. The happiness for the sinner that trusts Christ as our Savior. Do you want to be saved tonight? I was thinking today. I couldn't get it in my mind. Mr. McCracken and I had meetings in Pugwash Junction. One night after the meeting, a big fellow going out through the door, married, with two children, he said to me, "Would you mind if I stayed behind tonight?" I said, "No, I wouldn't mind." That night was the first night we had a prayer meeting after the gospel meeting. I said, "Just you stand here, inside the hall at the back, while the brethren here pray." He stood there. The people, some people walked past him. They were on their way out. He waited till the prayers were finished. Then we come up and sat down in the front. He said, "You know, that was very hard for me to do that." I says, "Do what?" He said, "You know, I was standing there and all those people passing me and looking at me." "Oh," I said, "Terry, if you get God's salvation, that's nothing." So I read him a few scriptures, tried to tell him how to be saved. I said, "Was there any verse you were thinking about today?" He said, "There was. There's one. That one about hearing and believing." He operated the machine in the woods that took the limbs off trees and chopped the tree off 8 foot long. That was the job he had. And he had a cab on his machine. He says, "In the cab, I had it up there before me." So I turned to John chapter 5 and verse 24. Now I says, "Read it, Terry." He read it. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now I says, "Terry, what do you see in that verse?" "Well," he said, "I see this. It's God speaking to me. And he says, he that heareth my word." Now he says, "I fit." That is,
He had heard the word of God. He says, I fit. I believeth on him that sent me. He says, I believe God sent his son into this world to die for me in the cross. He says, I fit. Do you fit? Have you heard his word? Do you believe that God sent Christ to die on the cross for you? Well, that's simple. Hath everlasting life. He says, I don't fit. He went over that about 60 or 70 times. It came 1:45. I said, do you want to go home, Terry? No, he says, I'm not going home. Well, I said, all you need to know now to find out is that Christ died for you. He says, if I found that out, I would be saved. Do you think tonight, if you found out that Christ died for you, that you would be saved? He said that to me. I says, you're right on, Terry. He turned over the leaves in his Bible and he came to Romans chapter 5. And he read verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now he says, there's it there. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for me. But I'm not saved. I said, read on. He read verse 7. He read verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. He said me. For God commendeth his love toward me. And not while I was yet a sinner. He says, Christ died for me. And he went back to John chapter 5. I never said a word. He that heareth my word, he says, I fit. And believeth on him that sent me, he says, I fit. Hath everlasting life, he says, I fit. For God says it. Is that salvation? That's as far as we can go. May God by His Spirit show it to you that Christ on the cross died for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son some love, that whosoever believeth in Him should never be in hell, never lose their soul. Good news. Best news. May it be your portion tonight. If you believe in Christ, what's God's promise to the believer? They'll never perish. They'll never be in hell. But they'll be the possessor of everlasting life. It can be yours tonight. What will you do with the Lord Jesus tonight? Tomorrow night, could it be just one night too late? Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we approach Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the words of the psalmist when he said, it is time for Thee, Lord, to work. We pray that Thou wilt work in the hearts of unsaved ones tonight. They're in danger of losing their soul. And there's no possibility of any compensation but to be in the everlasting burnings for eternal ages. May the Spirit of God move. Thou hast said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And it pleases God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We pray for a manifestation of Thy power and salvation tonight. And to God be the glory. Part us with thy blessing. Save sinners. For we ask it in the name and for the sake of that wondrous person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 254. Glad to see you tonight. Sorry for the overtime. Happens that way sometimes. Thou art not very far from the kingdom of God. Thou hast heard the sweet call of the King. Thou hast met the glad messenger speeding abroad, his free-hearted welcome to bring. And the kingdom looks bright, but the world is so dear, with its labor and pleasure and sin. Yet it were sad to have seen it so near, and never to enter therein. We'll only sing verse number 3, and then the meeting's over.